Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for this time of our meeting with you, our fellowship with you this morning, that it will be a time where, Lord, that we come together to hear from your word. Thank you that you take the time and the trouble, the effort to pour into our lives through your word this morning. We pray that our hearts are opened up to your understanding, that the word will be received into those hearts, and it will prosper this morning. It will accomplish everything that you intended it to do this morning, Lord. I pray that you will give me the words to speak, that, Lord, that I step into your confidence now, that nothing this morning will be spoken which is of man, but everything of you. And that, Lord, that you are in total control this morning. Father, bless your church. Encourage us, lift us up to know the will of the Father this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are still on our study of abiding in Christ, and this particular sermon message will draw it to a close for this particular part of abiding in Christ. Is it everything about abiding in Christ? No, because our life reveals everything about abiding in Christ as we learn more of God's precious word. But I hope it's just given us some little indications and some things to hang on to and to hold on to of what it means to abide in Christ. In the first two verses of John 15, that we've heard how Jesus claimed to be the true vine. I am the true vine. Listen, whatever you have heard before, Israel, and the audience that he had, whatever you understood about the vine, then let it be known this morning that I am the true one, he was saying to his people. Because he came in replace of the defective one, which was Israel. Israel that couldn't live up to what God had intended. We read how Jesus was not prepared to move on from with his message, and how sometimes pastors and preachers don't move on from a particular point of a message till they really believe that their listener. You know, when you're speaking to someone and you want someone to understand what you're saying, if they've got a blank look on their face, it's pretty obvious, isn't it, sometimes? Or they just look puzzled and wonder what he's on about. And it may be that was what was happening with the disciples, that Jesus was looking and thinking, they don't quite know what I'm on about yet. And that happened a lot with Jesus, which is why he used illustrations to paint pictures that he thought that his listeners would understand. And so he was not prepared to move on from there. He really laboured on the in me, what it was like to be in me, until he understood that. And for any of the rest of what he was going to say to make any sense, he had to get a grasp on that. And I use that illustration about the glove and the hand, about how on its own a glove can't do anything. You could talk to it from here to eternity and it would never ever do anything that you asked it to do. So, you know, until Christ comes into your life and takes up occupancy of your life, and then the glove can move, then it can be practical, it can do things and pick things up. And that was the illustration I used of the glove in the hand of being in Christ. And then in John 15:2, this is just a brief recap to bring us back in and draw us into where we left off last week's preaching and teaching. It says that every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And we could so easily look at that and read that and think, well, that takes away means that he's going to just remove us out away from him. Because when you take something away, you take something away from a child, you take it off them. But it didn't really mean that, because even though that some Bible translations publish takes away as removes, or even more dramatic, some of them mean to cut off. That's not what God would do. Because we looked at some scriptures, didn't we, and said God will never leave you or forsake you. And that how can that be then? It's not a contradiction in terms. It's actually perhaps not a very good definition of the word where it says takes away. Every branch in me that bears not fruit that he takes away is substituted then for a word as to lift up with a view of carrying. And I use the demonstration with the vines being trailing on the floor. If they trail on the floor, then what happens is they get trampled on, they get stepped on, and they become worthless and of no use, and become crushed. And you know that the whole purpose of the enemy of our soul, Satan, is to crush the very life out of you. Oh, thanks, Pastor, for sharing that with me this morning. That's very kind of you. But it is. And if I didn't do my duty to share that with you, it's not all rosy in the garden when we become Christians. It's a hard life. We still have the same issues to face. And we still have the same enemy of our soul that will try and crush you and stop you from being in the presence of God. So to lift up and carry, shared that beautiful poem of the footprints in the sand, and how blessed I was by reading it again and taking another view upon it of how God will lift us up in times of our lives when we only see, well, there's only one set of footprints. And that was the time that I carried you. Isn't that beautiful? And it was a procedure called training. If they were left to sag or they were left to fall on the floor, then they would definitely be fruitless. And then there was a scripture in Isaiah 53:4, which I shared with you, which was, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Isn't that wonderful that he carried our sorrows and we esteemed him? He bore our griefs. And that there's a Savior this morning that here that can carry your sorrows and can carry your griefs. And it was never intended that you would carry them this morning. So God is good. It's a great message for Christians today, a God that never leaves us and a God that has promised to support us through all the difficulties. So I want to take that a little bit further this morning. Some things I may be repeating, but I hope that this is like Jesus said. He wanted to be assured that the message got home. And this will bring this part of the study to an end and wrap some things up, I hope. So in verse 15:2, it says, every branch in me that bears not fruit. So, what is the fruit this morning that we've talked so much about? Because what you notice in the scriptures is that Jesus doesn't actually define what that fruit is. Now, as soon as the word fruit is mentioned in anything, you just think of maybe, I don't know, there's a basket here which is full of fruit. There's a pineapple. There's an orange. There's, I don't know what that is actually. Is that a lime? Well, an avocado, is it? Right. Just goes to show we don't have those in our house then. And a pear. So I'll keep those two for in a minute because I'd like to use those a bit later on. But yeah, so it's not in the literal, is it? We're not all going to become trees. I want to be a tree that's bearing fruit that God has pruned and caused to shoot. Song we used to sing to the children and sometimes to the adults as well. And It's not really, we're not going to become trees with fruit on it. But, so what did he mean? What does the fruit represent? But some people may say that the fruit of a believer is maybe another believer coming to Christ. You know, you have your friends and your family, and so. But you know what? With that, that doesn't always happen straight away, does it? Some of the fruit that we could see from our lives, of sharing our lives with God and bringing people to Christ, maybe a word that you spoke here to a passing stranger, maybe on a train or a bus one day, on a train one day, as Gary used to do, as maybe in your workplace and you don't work there anymore, but you share the testimony of God and how God's touched your life. Well, you know. You don't expect to come in the following day and see the fruit hanging off him or whatever or on your life, because there's something that will not be. But it is, it can be. Some people could think that, and I don't see any reason why that cannot happen. You know, if I invest in spending time with somebody and they come to know Christ, I'd love to see it. But it may be for a time later. So it could be. The fruit of a believer could be that somebody else has chosen to put their faith in Christ as a result of another believer's influence. That would be a natural product of a fruitful Christian, wouldn't it? You'd expect that. I mean, that should be what is happening. The Apostle Paul uses the imagery of fruit to describe some character qualities. If you turn with me, please, to Galatians. And chapter 5, verses 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Look at those again. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The fruit of the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit that lines up with the life of Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, could be seen as these characteristics or these qualities that you would find in a Christian. And again, they should be natural things to do. Sometimes we have to work hard on them. Sometimes they make them easy. I don't know. But you know, there's sometimes long suffering. Oh, well, how long have I got to suffer? Look at your Bible and see how long Christ suffered. How long have I got to be good? Is it just for today, Lord? Faith, meekness, joy. Jesus Christ endured the cross for the joy that was yet to come. So whatever Jesus meant by the fruit, it could be many different things, and we don't necessarily need to get bogged down by that this morning. But that we know that the fruit that we see represents unmistakable proof of who we belong to. So when I see the fruit in people's lives, in other words, what they're doing or what they're achieving, then you can really say who they're belonging to. Whether they belong into the world or whether they belong to Christ. Now let me put this into example. I mean, we just looked at these two. There's an apple and a pear. And I would say to you this morning, if you looked at an apple tree or a pear tree, you wouldn't know the difference. If they were fruitless, you would not know the difference. To the untrained eye, it's just a tree. I know that Brian knows a lot of trees and the forestry and things like that, and you go and walk through them, you point out different trees and things, and our kids do. But I would say, I don't know an oak from an elm, or a beech from a birch, or what? There's no such tree, is there? No, from a larch, and it was close. and what birds go in it, I have absolutely no idea. My eye is untrained as to what it is. It's just a tree. But let me tell you, that changes, you see, because if the branches hung heavy with pears, if that starts to hang heavy with pears, I know where those branches belong to. It belongs to a pear tree, not anything else. So you see, the fruit there can identify. There's no mistake then, the tree's identity. The same would apply to us. So if we hang heavy with the fruits of the Spirit this morning, hang heavy with love, hang heavy with peace, hang heavy with long-suffering, hang heavy with gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness and temperance, the world will see who you belong to. It will be pretty obvious, your identity, that you belong to Christ. This is abiding in Christ. Please remember the theme of this message this morning. Everybody knows and everybody will know who you belong to. Sadly, that illustration works will work in opposition, won't it? It will work in opposition in that. That if you begin to bear anger, bitterness, sorrow in your whatever, these are not things that you belong to the world, because those are not the things that a Christian should be showing forth. Well, you don't know what I'm suffering. Long suffering. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And the joy as we're going through it. You know, it never ceases to amaze me. Carol, I know that you would have had times where you would have gone home on your bed and you would have cried and you would have been upset and you would have been, lots of things. But you always come through those doors with a smile on your face. And you always come through with a joy and a message and a love of thinking of other people. I know who you belong to. And I'm not picking you out to embarrass you. I'm not picking you out saying you're better than anybody else. And I could go through each and every one of you and say the same things. We not all got it this morning. There's times where I fail to do a lot of these things. And God's reminding me through this. Stay close to Jesus this morning. But you know that we will show the fruit of the Spirit. So whether it's or not sharing a message with someone in your workplace and suddenly they say, I got it. And we see that fruit there of a believer, that's great. Our everyday lives, both of these things will show who we're connected to this morning. All I ask you to do is, if you're bearing fruits of the world, then maybe God needs to deal with us, and that can be sometimes pretty painful, really painful. So let's look at John 15, 4 and 5, please, this morning. We'll just take this a little bit further. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. So we touched on this in previous weeks, that Jesus never commanded his disciples or anybody, and he doesn't command us today, he doesn't encourage us today in any shape or form for believers to produce fruit. That is not your job. That is not my job. That is not your job. That is God's job. Fruit is the product of the branch. There's a difference. Fruit is the product of the branch, but it's not the responsibility. That's the Lord's doing. You see, all we need to do is concentrate as a branch is remaining attached to Jesus, attached to the vine. Everything else will come from that. And this word, it says here, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Now that word bear there means it's the Greek word, the Greek word is pheso, P-H-E-S-O. It means to carry, to express, or to show. How does that work then? You got this here as bear. Well, to carry or to show, we can understand that. But it's best described in 2 Peter 1:21. 1 Peter 1:21. I've got to make sure I got the right verse. 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Being moved. That word being moved there is very closely linked, and it's the same root as the word bear. Being moved by the Holy Ghost. They were compelled by the Holy Spirit's power. In other words, they were not acting on their own thoughts. They were not making it up as they went along. And nothing happened unless they were inspired by the Holy Ghost to do it. Speaking in prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. So nothing that we should do today should be by the will of man. But everything, instead, by expressing the mind of God. It wasn't about expressing your will. It's not about what you think this morning. It's not about what you want this morning. It's about everything about the will of God. About the mind of God. About the alpha mind. I need to know the alpha mind on a situation. I need to know what God wants. And here the scripture says that we bear, to carry or to express. I want to carry or express the mind of God in the things that I show forth. Which emphasizes how important it is for the fruits of the Spirit this morning to come through. The alpha mind. Providing the branch, you see, providing the branch, providing you and me remain attached to the vine, it will receive all the life-sustaining support that it can do. You know, the sap of the tree, the nourishment that comes up from the roots, everything will come through. The strength, everything we need to hang heavy with those grapes that we've described this morning and produce a wonderful, I've made the mistake of saying produce a wonderful crop. To show, to bear. To show forth what God is doing in our lives. That's the difference, isn't it? I don't want to show forth what I'm doing in my life. And that's when we begin to get the real understanding on it. If we can begin to say, stop trying to work so hard to show forth the work of men. Not as men of old. Speaking things. They were speaking things that come of God. And in the same way that they were moved, compelled by the Spirit of God to speak things, we can be moved and compelled by the Spirit of God to show forth, hallelujah, the alpha mind of God and do that. The focus of Christian activity, therefore, should not be to work hard on producing anything, but to work hard at staying attached to Jesus. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard to stay attached to Christ I've heard testimonies recently and in people's lives where it's difficult, and the trial comes and things come against it, and it's the last thing that sometimes that we want to do is stick close to Jesus. But then through that encouragement and through the testimonies of people, we know that they've turned their lives around and they come back attached to the branch. They're not destroyed. They're just temporarily, as this illustration was last week, they're just hanging low at that time, and at the right moment God comes along and picks them up and blesses them. So how is it that we can stay abiding in Christ? How can we stay holding on to Jesus? Well, here's one good thing, isn't it? Being in church this morning and listening to the message, listening and understanding the mind of God, and reading your Bible and then talking about it. Talk about the Word of God. Talk about what the Word of God has said. Talk about the things that He's doing in your life, and share it with people. And this is it. You see, because the less you do things, the further away that you get, and the further detached that you can be from Christ. Read your Bible. Study. Talk about it. Talk about it to your children. Talk about it to your friends. Talk about it to your family. Talk about the Word of God to others. Ask questions. I don't know what it means, Lord. Let me... memorize it. Hallelujah. I know, I used to be pretty good at doing that. I've become sloppy over the years. When we had men's fellowship last night, Craig shared with us Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is the law of the Lord, and on the law he shall meditate both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living waters, who bring forth his fruit in his season, and whatsoever he shall do it shall prosper. Not so for the ungodly, for they shall be like the chaff that the wind drives away. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. For some reason I remember that one because of the things in it. And I used to memorize other big chunks of scripture, and I'd walk around in my lost and lonely times when I felt alone, detached from God, quoting scriptures and then just being reminded in a spirit, He's right by the side of you, Andrew, walking around Caerphilly on this cold, wet, horrible day. I don't want to be doing this, Lord. I don't want to be doing this job. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living waters. So we memorize bits of scriptures. I can remember the first one. I think, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. I think that was one of the first ones that I remembered. And we've all got our favorite little bits of scripture that we can recall on. But it's important. Let me tell you, the Word of God is important for staying close to Jesus. Because as soon as there's a gap in your armor or a chink in your armor, the enemy can drive a wedge in and can get in there and say, you haven't read your Bible for a week, you haven't done this for a fortnight, you have lost it, you've forgotten my precious word to you. And we come back and say, it is written. I am a child of God. I am attached to the vine. And at the right moment, at the right time, God's going to break through. He's going to do something awesome in my life. And we speak it back. These are the things that the ways that we can do. It's not the definitive list. Whatever way that you do, you probably could share with me this morning a different way to which you keep attached to God. Abiding not. We looked at abiding. Maybe we'll get a better idea of what we should be doing if we see what we shouldn't be doing and the consequences of that, which is in John, as we move forward on that same passage of scripture. In verse 6, it says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into a fire, and they are burned. That sounds a bit... wow. That sounds a bit dramatic, doesn't it? A bit drastic, a bit final, almost. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. For whatever reason, there are some Christians who fail to abide in Christ. Some Christians who fail to abide in Christ. Could be that they've been drawn back to their old ways for whatever reason, lost their love for Jesus, or just simply that they can do things better than God. And that's probably the biggest one of all. I could work it out in my own way. I don't need God anymore. And they go their own way. Jesus does not hold back on what happens. He doesn't say, well, it's okay. Yeah, carry on. Leave them go. And we're not talking, I want you to understand, we're not talking about coming along and being lifted up here and support you. That's totally different, which I hope you'll see the difference in me. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch that is withered, and men gather them and cast them into a fire, and they are burned. This is important to understand that we're still talking about believers. You see, John 15:2 says that every branch in me, it's the in me. It's still about people that are in Christ. We're not talking about non-believers here when it says every branch that abides not, everyone that abides not in me. This is still about believers. And also, to confirm that as well, in 15:3 it says, now are you a clean through the word which I have spoken to you. You've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ as a believer. So it's not about non-believers, it's about believers. It's about the audience that he had in front of him at the time. It was about his disciples. And he was preparing for them, in them, for a time when he would not be around. He was making sure that they understood the message. He'd gone on from in me, he spoke about abiding in me, and now it was the message. Now listen, look what happens if you abide not in me, if you choose to not to abide in me. And also, you'll not lose your salvation. Please don't think this morning that any of this message that you can leave here and think, I've been taken out of the hand of God. That's not possible, and that's not going to happen. And I will give you a scripture which will confirm that this morning in John 10:27-29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they followed me. And I give them to eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You're not going to be plucked out of God's hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now that's the encouragement that we need this morning. You know, I don't go down the theory of once saved, always saved, but that is true this morning. You know, don't think it gives you license to go out and do whatever you like. Because those who believe that once saved, always saved, yes, that's okay, and you can go and do whatever you like. Abide not in me and listen what happens, because that is the message. Abide not in me this morning, that he is cast forth as a branch that is withered. Men gather them and cast them into a fire, and they are burned. Couple more minutes and a couple more verses, and I think you maybe start to get the understanding of what the point that Jesus was making in, with this message to him. And I want to turn to Ezekiel. Notice many times when we were talking about Jesus coming into Jerusalem that he would have he called back on old prophets and old messages of old to declare, well, it's actually you. You are the one, Israel. You're the one that's produced nothing. You are the one. And this time, in that scripture in John, I think there's a little bit of about Ezekiel in here, verse 15, 1 through to 6. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work, or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into a fire for fuel. The fire devours both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. It is meat for the work. Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat, yet for any work, when a fire has devoured it, and it is burned? Therefore saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I don't know if that makes any sense to you when reading it out this morning. When I read that, I thought, what on earth is all that about? It took me a while to get my head around it. But it talks here about a disconnected branch. Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work, or will men take a pin of it and hang on it? What is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? It's no different, it's the same principle. If that branch is disconnected from the tree, then it's going to die. It will wither away and die. That's what can be made from a disconnected branch that has dried up and been thrown into a fire? Nothing is left but a pile of ashes. Fit for nothing. Stay with me. The point is simply this. Vine dressers toss disconnected branches aside because they're dead. Those who are broken off, Not those who are fragile, not those who are damaged, because we know God lifts them up. We're talking about something that is chosen to disconnect itself from the vine, the source of life. Because at the time of believing and the point you gave your life over to Christ, you become connected in Christ. This message is about abiding in Christ, not coming to salvation. You know where you should be. Your salvation is secure. We just said, we've explained that. This is about abiding in Christ and staying attached to the vine, which is your source of life, the rivers of living water that we heard about in our men's fellowship last night. So if you become attached from that, it just paints the illustration. You see, while the branch was attached to the tree, could the branch make anything of itself? Could it say, I'll be a pin to hang my coat or my pot up on it? No, it can't. It's just a branch. That's not the purpose of the branch. The purpose of the branch is to bear forth fruit. It cannot do anything of itself. You see, so even attached to Christ and abiding in Christ, you cannot do anything of yourself. Now, if you can accept that this morning, then it will begin to make you understand and to realize that if I then become detached from Christ, the branch becomes detached from the tree, disconnected from the tree, it dies. And what happens, as we've heard in Ezekiel, and as we heard Jesus explaining to us this morning, it dies and withers up. And what do the vine dressers do? They toss it in the fire. And what's left? Nothing but a pile of ashes. Now, what are you going to make out of a pile of ashes this morning? I've seen the devastation and destruction that a fire can cause. Recently, there was a fire in a house in Caerphilly, and I didn't. It wasn't safe to go in, but you could smell the mess, you could see the mess. Unfortunately, part of it was the bloke that was in there, and he was seriously burnt. But this mess, a fire destroys things. Now you may think, well, when's the fire going to come in my life? At the end of this world that we're living in, there's going to be a trial, there's going to be a fire, there's going to be a trial of everything that you have ever done upon this earth. And we'll see that in a minute when we look at Corinthians. But the point that I want to keep on making to you is this. And this has been disconnected from the tree. Now, while it was attached to the tree, it couldn't make itself into that peg for the coat. Because all that tree was supposed to do was to bear forth some beautiful green foliage. It's part of a Christmas tree. It's not part of the Christmas tree that is out there, because that hasn't been cut off long enough to die. Don't think this is going to happen overnight. You could start to wither and die, and it may take a little bit more longer, some take longer than others. But it's become detached. It's not bearing what it should do. So the vine dresser comes along and says, well, that's going in a fire. And then, nothing but a pile of ashes is left. And you can't make anything out of that pile of ashes that is left over. So living a life without Christ, living a life and not abiding in Christ, becoming detached from Him. That's a pretty strong, warning. Therefore, saith the Lord, in verse 6 it says, I'll read it again, therefore saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Because they didn't bear forth what God intended them to do. They disconnected themselves from the will of God. They started to make things up as they went along. Saints of God, this morning, don't get bored with your Christian life. Don't think that you have to put your hand in and make it go. Don't think that you have to put the oars over the side of the boat and start rowing your own way. If you need to go forward, God through His Spirit will send the Holy Spirit and the wind to take you forward with no effort. You see, there is no effort in a branch bearing fruit. All the effort is through the vine. All the effort is through God. And all God would have you today is stop trying to do things your way. Now, how you equate that to your everyday life, that is up to you. I can't come up with a definitive list to say to you, well, sister so-and-so, you should stop doing this. But this is about the work. This is about the things that we do and bear forth, the things that we show. Because the message is quite clear. If it's a work of man, it's going to be tried and tested in a fire. And after that, there's going to be nothing left for anything to be made from it. Someone who fails to abide in Christ is someone who is trying to transform his or her own character and to produce Christ-like qualities. Is that clear? Is that right? Somebody who fails to abide in Christ is somebody trying to produce themselves. It's what I mentioned before, trying to copy, trying to be holy through the works that you do and the things that you say. And it's not going to work. Just think of it every time that you float off and do something on your own. Think of that message that comes through Ezekiel there. That's just going to get burned up. All that's going to be left of this. Well, I'm wasting my... Because you're wasting your time. And more than anything this morning, the message could come across quite clear. Stop wasting your time on trying to transform yourself. Whether you're attached to the branch or disconnected from the branch. You've got even less chance disconnected, but you've got no chance of either one of them anyway. You see, if you try to do it without maintaining, and this is about abiding in Christ, maintaining a healthy life connected to Jesus. I want to stay connected to Jesus. Every single second, every breath that I breathe in my life of every day, staying close. Because, you know, otherwise it's just futile and it never works. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians. Verse 3:11-15. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We should understand that. It's got to be a foundation of Jesus Christ this morning. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's works of what sort it has. If any man's work abides, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Have you read that scripture before? You ever looked at that and thought, well, yeah, I can maybe understand that. It's good to start off, as every man's built upon this no other foundation can be laid than that as of Jesus Christ. But if we build on these things, you see there's things like gold, precious stones, silver, and then there's wood, hay and stubble. There's a direct contrast there, isn't there? You see, one's going to stand through the test. One's going to come through the fire. And that's what the point that Paul is making. Your works are going to show forth. If they are gold or precious stones or silver, they're going to stand the test of that trial when that fire comes. But if they're from wood or hay or stubble, I'm sorry, there's not going to be anything there. Living a life without complete dependence upon Christ is like building a house with dry, crackling wood and stuffing all the internal walls with straw for insulation. Just one spark, and that's going to go up in smoke in an instant. And what's left from it? Absolutely nothing. But the scripture says, you see, the homeowner escapes. It says, doesn't it, that if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Yes, he's going to suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. There's another consolation there. You shall be saved. You're not going to be destroyed. You see, you could waste your whole life upon this earth in doing futile, wasted time, wasted things, wasting your time, building on your own hopes, building on your own dreams, ignoring God, disconnecting yourself from the branch. You're still saved. Your salvation is secure. But what have you done with your life? What have you done with what God has given you? The whole number escapes from the fire, but he's nothing left to show for his efforts. You don't want to get it. You see, the whole point of preaching the message of God, the whole point of abiding in Christ, and to encourage you to stay in Christ, is you get to the end of that life, and God can look down on you and say, well done, O good and faithful servant. And even through the trial, even through the fire, then the works that you're going to be reared of gold and precious stones and silver, because they are a work of God this morning. And not works of man, which have been consumed in a moment, turned into a pile of ashes, when there's absolutely nothing left. And you look at your life and you think, you could just imagine if you can picture that actually happening, it may help you this morning. You take a bag of all your good works, with all you've done upon this earth, and you come off and say, I'm going up to see the Lord. Here's my bag, Lord. Okay, let's put it through a trial right now. And he puts a match to it, and it goes up in smoke, and all that's left is a bunch of ashes. And you look at it, and you think, oh my word. You would be horrified to see everything that you've done upon this earth, fooled into thinking that it was all about you, or I could do something to make a difference, when in reality you cannot. Now I go in with my bag. Put it down before the Lord. Full of gold. Full of everything that God has done for me. I've shown forth the fruits of the Spirit. I've done everything that the Lord... God has worked through us. And he puts the tile on it. Still there. Maybe the temperature goes up. I don't know. It's still there. Everything is still intact. Yes! you're quite entitled to celebrate and dance if you want to, because I'm pretty sure the Lord would be. Because when he says, well done, oh good and faithful servant, it's not, oh, well done, mate. Well done, sister, brother. You got it. You got the message. You understood it on that 12th of February 2017. That you needed to stay close to Jesus. You needed to stay connected to him. Because he is your source and he is your life. And as he springs up from the ground, those living waters come up. The energy, the strength that will build you up will come through into the branches, and you will be hanging with the fruit. Because you will bear forth the works of God, hallelujah, transformed by his power. Old life left behind. Church, we see a wonderful testimony of the saving grace of our God here in this message this morning. Because he will not discard you, but it is a warning and it is a message that comes and says, look out. Don't defile yourself by bringing in this icky stuff from the world again. I'm saying, you know, oh, I can do this. I can do this. I got through it last time. God, you got through me last time. I'll take care of it this time. I'm all right. The branch comes cut off. You will make nothing. It will not stand the test of when the fire comes. It will be burnt up. There'll be nothing left but a pile of ashes. I need to leave you something positive. Well, I hope that it's been positive even up to now. But in John 15, 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. From here on is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. From now on. You see, I reckon that Jesus was taking great comfort in an assurance in knowing, I think they've got it. I think they understand it. I know now when the Holy Spirit comes, when I send the Holy Spirit to be with them and to live in them and abide in them, they're going to remember this. They're going to get it. So I think he was pretty pleased about that. So when every ounce of strength and effort and determination is put into staying connected to Jesus, the relationships flourish. Your relationship will flourish. You see, if we put as much effort into staying connected to Jesus as we do some things of the world sometimes, then our lives could be transformed, totally turned around. You see, then we can experience the abundant life that Christ has promised us in John 10:10, where he says, but the thief has come to steal and to kill and destroy. The thief has come here, maybe to put doubt in your mind, time this morning, maybe to confuse the message that's coming across. But I believe that God's got the victory this morning. And the message has come over clear and precise, and it needs to be received into our heart this morning so that the lies of the enemy cannot say that this is not for you, that this is for all of us. The enemy has come to kill, to steal and destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. This is not something I'm going to give you separate to me. I'm not just going to come with a little gift, wrapped gift, and say, here's my life, take it away and I'll see you whenever. The gift that I give to you, the abundant life I give to you, is by you abiding in me and me in you. Moving on from believing, moving on from salvation. And I hope that you assured this morning, your salvation's secure. You see, we can fall into them backsliders, or you'll be named being taken out of the book of life. That's not going to happen. That won't happen. We've heard the scriptures this morning, and if you rest on that assurance, you've got a great platform which to work off and to go forward with. Right. Now I need to abide in Christ. Now I need to make some adjustments this morning. And you will know what trigger points and what's going on in your life right now and what you need to do to put things right. I can't tell you what to do. The message has come to you this morning. And the warning has come. If you leave here and you carry on your life and you do exactly the same thing, then maybe one day, picture that bag. And your works, laying them before God. Is it going to be perfect on it? No, of course it's not. But I'd like something precious to be. I'd like to say that it was worth it. It was worth it. Because when that trial has come, I stayed as much as I can. This isn't about doing everything right. This isn't about not doing anything wrong. It's about staying close to Jesus. No, it's not about staying close to Jesus. It's about staying connected to Him and living in Him and Him in you this morning. This last bit of this portion of Scripture gives us great promise of things that can come out of that abundant life. Listen as we go through just a few of those things. If a man, 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my works in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Answered prayer. Answered prayer this morning. First thing that we can gain from this, if we abide in Christ, is that we're guaranteed answered prayer. Prayers are answered. Not like some kind of personal genie where you just rub the lamp and poof, he comes up and you get every wish that you command. No. The things that will get answered is the selfless request that Jesus himself would have petitioned to God for. The salvation of a soul here. The breakthrough on a life here. Something will happen. Hallelujah. God's promise is here. Abide in me and you will begin to see fantastic things happening in your life and your church and your family. I'll transform things. What a promise. Hallelujah. And the saints of God actually got excited in Moriah this morning and said amen. Yeah. Well, some of them did anyway. Answered prayer. When we pray, do we expect the answers? I'm with God. I'm at the gate. He lets me in. Remember the example that we shared last week? He sent the driver to pick me up. I can get through the gates. I'm with him. He's with me. Hallelujah. It's the request that Jesus would have made to his dad. I want to make him to my dad. I stay connected to Jesus, and I know that my dad will hear me. God is glorified. Another point. Just quick 4 points before we finish off this morning. God is glorified. His words are in it. And as we obey, then God gets all the glory. I want God to get all the glory today. I love it this morning when we can share the things that are happening in the church and around here. And you say, God's done it. God's done it. Start telling people what God has done. And God's name will be glorified. He gets all the glory. He gets all the credit. He delights to see us reflecting his character. And you know what happens then? A big smile goes on his face and he starts to bless us even more. Bless you, bless you, bless you. And we are blessed to be a blessing this morning. And God's name is glorified throughout all of it. Number 3, love is stimulated to bear much fruit with no struggle. It's not a struggle to bear fruit. You just got to stay there and say, you could even have a look. Got all this stuff hanging off my branches today. Isn't that lovely? Just visualize yourself going around with a whole heap that you're showing forth fruits of the Spirit. Tell you what, memorize those. There's 9 of them.
I think. There's 9 of them. That list was on there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance. What's the other one? I'm skipping through my notes trying to find out. I know, I'm speaking to the Air Force on here. Yeah. We had love, we had joy, we had peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness and temper. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 9 of them. Why don't you memorize those? Commit that one little passage of scripture to memory. And then next week, I'll test you. No. We begin to see them. The love that's bearing forth from that Christian this morning, from that sister or brother. Isn't it absolutely wonderful this morning? It's not the love of man. Let me tell you, I don't mix that up this morning. It's not the peace of man, which we've been reading about in our study about Joseph. There's a defective peace that man can have, but there's the perfect peace that God has. And joy will overflow. Deep, contented joy. Deep joy. People say, oh yeah, deep joy this morning or whatever. Deep, contented joy comes from a place of complete security. You see, you got no responsibility to work all this out yourself. Wow, I could just chill out. I can just flourish. Just concentrate on staying close to Jesus, connected to Jesus, and flourish. You'll have deep joy. Complete security of confidence, even in the midst of a trial. Even in the midst of difficulty. All these things are possible this morning to those who believe. Deep joy. When I read that, suddenly an old song from children's work came to mind. And I don't know if anybody here knows it. Joy is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart. I know if Judy was here, she'd have started singing it. Do you remember it, Lynn? I don't know whether I should start trying to say, joy is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart, the castle of my heart, the castle of my heart. Joy is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart, and the king is in residence there. And the joy, let it do, 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 do. And it goes on and on. It's a lovely song that the kid, that just sprung up to my, that's true. It's like joy is a flag flown high from my life this morning. Full of joy, hallelujah, that God has blessed us, the live our lives, and that he is interested to live his life through you this morning. There is no other alternative but to abide in Christ this morning, whatever else or whatever choices that you make today. Let that be the one number one priority. Put it first in your life. Make whatever effort you need to. Make whatever adjustments you need to this morning. But saints of God, if we get that message across, we'll have that confidence with Jesus. I can go now. Because I know this message is going to go on to the next generation. We want to instill into people and believers this morning that it's not just about coming to Christ, it's about abiding in Christ. And it's not just because you're going to get all this nice stuff afterwards. That will come as a that will come naturally. You will be blessed. You will have joy. You will have exciting times. Your life will be wonderful. It's an abundant life. Just think of it as abundance, abundance, abundance. You can't write abundance the way that God writes it, because it's never ending. You'll never come to the I had a great time of abundance yesterday. I was fulfilled. It doesn't come in measures of which we can put it into. It's overflowing. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. It's fantastic. But it's the life that God has promised for us this morning. So I hope you've been encouraged through this teaching and through this messages that we've shared about, because you know, centuries before the arrival of Jesus in Jerusalem, God planted that vineyard in the promised land, but the branches withered and wasted and failed to produce good fruit. That was that message that was coming in with it. That's what's going to happen to you, O Israel. For those who failed to produce or to bear good fruit. Israel, like each and any one of us, could to testify against failing God today. But Jesus came to do what neither Israel nor we can do. And that is to make the difference. So the invitation is to attach ourselves to him like the vine, like the branch to the vine. That's the invitation. stay attached this morning. And it's not about salvation, as I've said. That's already been settled. It's now about living the wonderful, abundant life. So the question is this morning, and I hope you don't mind me putting this to you, is how will you live your life now? Right now? Will you try to become good and righteous in your own ways, or will you abide in Christ and allow Him to produce good in you? That's your choice. Let's stand this morning.